I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Kind of like Jim Carrey in Once Bitten. But I'm not wearing a costume. When he turns more vampire-ish after she bites him.
That was almost an excellent Nicolas Cage reference.
What?
Nicolas Cage voice. I didn't get Jim Carrey out of that. I got more Nicolas Cage, but maybe that's just me.
It was the reference that was the point, not the voice. Hello and welcome to episode 98 of the podcast organization without a cool acronym, brought to you by the Geekastria Network. I am one of your hosts, Steve Channel Mike. Joining me is Peacock Court Michael. Today is the 98th day of summer. I didn't change that number in the script, but today is Holy the 98th cow. Day of... Yeah, you think I'd, you know... And this
got
it is the day that GCRN finds out what's the Limp Balloon Ultimatum all about, along with celebrating Drusilstinoween whilst facing our fears in Phineas and Ferb Season 4. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes. Yes, we are. And, Let's Halloween go. Time, folks. We talked about it at the end of the last episode. We'll talk about it again here. I really dig the quote-unquote new special intro for these two episodes. Very Halloween. Very awesome.
I do like Halloween episodes.
Yes, but usually when they do, like unless it's like Christmas Vacation, it's usually just the normal intro. But these episodes, they changed everything up.
That monkey, new intro.
That monkey in a shower is just a skeleton. It's a skeleton monkey. It's a dead monkey skeleton in the bathtub.
But they kept the Frankenstein.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was already there, so.
Yeah, you know, it's very Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Well, hello, Vanessa.
Hey, Monty. What are you up to?
I'm just doing a little freelance for my dad. What's up?
I happen to be throwing the biggest, baddest, Halloweeniest bash ever. It's tonight, and I think you should come.
A costume party? Hey, that means we can actually be seen in public together and no one will know.
That's the plan. I'm checking out my Queen of the Vampires costume even as we speak. Ooh. It's pretty cute.
Great, I'll be there. I'll be dressed as the Scarlet Pimpernel.
The Scarlet what?
You know he wears a big red hat with a feather in it? You should watch more old movies.
Well, you know, it's a little known fact that vampire queens love pumpernels.
Pimpernel.
Yeah, whatever, Alka boy.
See you tonight.
So, Drusilstinoween, when Vanessa learns that her father has inherited a Drusilstinian castle right next door to her, she seizes the opportunity to throw the biggest Halloween bash ever. The whole town is there, including Phineas and Ferb, who act as the event's party planners and DJs. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz enlists Perry to help him find a large hidden treasure that his great aunt has placed somewhere within the castle. Dun dun dun. This might be my favorite episode of the entirety of season 4 so far.
Really?
So far.
Why? Okay, all right. That's interesting.
It's Vanessa as a vampire queen.
To be fair, 8 or 9 vampire queens are in this episode, so it's not that special.
The only one that matters. Oh, please. Poor Stacy, man. Like, she can't get it. Stacy can't get a break in here.
Can't catch a break. Yeah, she just keeps dressing as everybody else. You'd think that they'd have some type of phone tree or something. You know, like an online board where they can all communicate and decide what they're all going to wear ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Call each other, you know. What are you going to be? I'm going to be the Scarlet Pimpernel. Number one, don't know what the hell that is.
Really? Two,
you know what? I did not know what the Scarlet Pimpernel was until Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
Oh, see, that's...
There's a song at the end. He says, I'm going to beat him like my Scarlet Pimpernel.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? What the hell is a Scarlet Pimpernel? And I had to look it up because I didn't know.
And
I'm gonna beat him like a Scarlet Pimpernel.
Yeah, good old Jack Black.
Little Jack Black there. Yeah,
I know it from the 1950 short, The Scarlet Pumpernickel.
Oh.
Yes, Daffy Duck.
Okay.
Dresses up as the
Scarlet. I understand that reference.
Yes. I love that cartoon. Absolutely.
Forgot
love.
About that cartoon.
Oh, no.
Cow.
As soon as I. Okay. Vampire Queen has a whole other meaning for me nowadays, but
yes.
That's a story for another day. But as soon as I saw Monty dressed like that, that's what he was going to go as. I'm like, oh, man, this is Disney. Oh, wait. Wait.
I saw him, and I was like,
yeah.
I am the darkness that quacks in the
it's
night.
That's right. Yeah. It's like Darkwing Pimpernel. But as soon as I saw him dressed up as a sculptor, I'm like, oh, man, it's too bad they couldn't do like some sort of, you know, crossover with Warner Brothers again and have Daffy show up, because that would have been hilarious.
That would have been funny. Yeah. That would have been funny. I mean, they could have thrown in some duck adjacent character and it would have been all right.
Yep.
Except for Ducky Momo, because Blanchard doesn't like Ducky Momo, but duck adjacent. Ducky Momo arguably is more of a Pokemon reference than anything else.
Yeah. And I'm not that crazy about Pokemon, so I was 13 at the time. I was growing out. I was into Batman the Animated Series, damn it, not Pokemon.
Right, I am vengeance.
No, technically, when did Pokemon debut? 93, 97? If it was 97, I was 17. I was too old.
Vengeance that flaps in the night.
Yes, Mr. Darkwing, sir. All right, Mr. Mallard, Mr. Drake Mallard. I'm just going to run down the illusions list here really quick.
Oh,
Adventure
all right.
Time, where Vanessa dresses as a vampire queen for Halloween. Vanessa's voice actress.
Wait a minute. How do you equate what she was dressed up as the vampire queen in Adventure Time, aside from the fact that they're both called the vampire queen?
If you would have let me finish my sentence.
They look completely different.
Illusions.
She doesn't have a guitar.
Oh my God. Shut up. Vanessa dresses as a vampire queen for Halloween. Vanessa's voice actress, Olivia Olson, also voices Marceline the Vampire Queen in Adventure Time.
What?
Yes.
This is my Chris Pratt face. What? What? I did not know that.
Are you being serious or are you being an ass?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was the same voice actress.
That's funny. The first time, exactly.
Well, it's fun to interrupt you, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. There is a Carmen Miranda reference. There's a Dirty Dancing reference. Harry Potter's in here. Lady Gagme's in here. Angry Birds, Gremlins, because when Doofenshmirtz rides on the chairlift, that's from Gremlins. There's a pair of twins from The Shining.
That rooster head. I didn't equate upset rooster head with Angry Birds. And this is probably because Angry Birds hasn't been a thing in 20 years, but...
20 years? Oh, no.
Upset rooster head made me... I thought it was peculiar, but not... I didn't equate it with Angry Birds, but now that makes me laugh. Yeah, that's funny.
And
upset
they,
rooster.
They did do a Looney Tunes reference, because Doofenshmirtz does Daffy's I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I'm comfortably well off.
Comfortably well off. That was funny. Yeah.
Alibaba Bunny. That's right.
Honestly, I expected a bunch of people to run over and grab his money, but I didn't expect it to be like bill collectors.
Yeah, me either. But I mean, I kind of did, though, because, you know, Doofenshmirtz very rarely pays his bills.
Well, I mean, and it wasn't even like, you know, you got to keep the lights on. It was like, here, I'm from the Homeowners Association.
Yeah. It's
screw
all the,
you guys. Take me to court, you know.
Yeah, it's all the...
We're from the Moat Administration Department. I'm like, oh, man. Really? They were all lined up outside? Waiting for him to find cash?
Yeah, and this might be the funniest Cinderella reference in cartoon history. The fact that Isabella's costume, Phineas refers to her as Isabellarella, and she keeps throwing her shoes away.
She throws her shoes at him, which is hilarious. At him.
Throws it at him, and she throws it in the punch.
Yes.
And later she's like, I wouldn't drink that if I were you.
That. It smells like my feet.
Yeah.
Punch tastes like my feet.
Isabella, what are you doing?
You know, and certain people would probably drink that right up, but, you know.
No.
Like, what site do I have to go to drink Isabella's feet water?
Nope.
That's awful. Get that
page away, folks. Yeah, you're awful. You're the one that's saying this shit.
Things that make me giggle. I don't know. It does make everybody giggle. But she's walking around barefoot because she threw both of her shoes at him. It's just too funny.
And then she says, oh, it's much funnier going around barefoot. Much more comfortable going around barefoot anyway. And he takes his shoes off. And then they start dancing together.
I'm like, and they dance. How cute is that? Aww.
Yep, they got their dance. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ferb is DJing. Not only does he sing, right, but he has the mask on. And my thought was something more modern. I thought it was Marshmallow. I thought he was doing a Marshmallow thing. Yeah, that's what I thought it was. Because he's a DJ, and he's got this big thing on his head.
Yeah.
It didn't occur to me he was doing Deadmau5.
Yeah, he's doing Deadmau5. Because
that was like 20 years ago. That's
Was it? No, it wasn't.
Deadmau5 is forever ago. I don't even remember Deadmau5 now. I mean, maybe it was more Deadmau5-y, but to me, it's like, oh yeah, you know, a more modern take on this would have been Marshmallow.
Dude, the more modern take, really? More modern
take? How old is this episode? 8 years? I don't know.
Yeah. 2013.
Show. Everything new is new again.
Right. October 4th, 2013. Deadmau5. Years active, 1998 to present. So he's been active for 26 years. He, she, they, it, them. Joel Thomas Zimmerman, born. Okay, so he's good. Deadmau5.
Deadmau5, well, yeah.
When he first, when Ferb first.
Bloody Deadmau5, bloody flavor. You know?
Yeah. Well, when he first took the thing off, he reveals this, like, white suit and he's got the mustache. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't that a.
That was not a Deadmau5 thing. No, Deadmau5 never did that.
No, it's the crooner. It's the. Oh, God. Sinatra. I thought he was doing a Sinatra.
Oh, no, that was predating Sinatra.
Okay, sure. What else about Drusel Sinoween?
There was a lot of references I did not catch.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like, after reading the wiki, I'm like, really? Not sure. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Like what?
Well, like the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. The elevator the Doof and Perry ride is similar to the ride found. And I was like, really? I'm not sure if that ride, it's a drop ride, you know, where you go up really high and then you drop really fast. And I don't know. I mean, I think it's a stretch. They were at the top of the elevator and then they fell. But as they were falling, they like fell through a pretzel or something. And I thought it was strange, like visual sight gag. Seemed kind of strange, but I didn't get Tower of Terror out of it, you know, and it's like, oh, Haunted Mansion. And I'm like, because there's headstones? Because it's Halloween? I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know either.
Vampire Queens love the Pimpernels. One of the final lines is the story is all this time. And they're like, oh, Beauty and the Beast. And I'm like, is that trademarked? Is it trademarked by Disney? Well, I don't know.
But it's still Disney. Disney owns it. They can throw in whatever they want as long as they own it. They could throw in Lion King in here. I mean, but I will say, I was not expecting the foot stomp mashup. The foot stomp mashup is a remix and mashup version of some of the previous Phineas and Ferb songs, which include Squirrels in My Pants, Ain't Got Rhythm, Spa Day, I'm Lindana and I Want to Have Fun, Yippee-ki-yay, That's Wings You Turkey, and Backyard Beach.
Yes.
Foot stomp mashup is the coolest remix.
It was like a house party, you know?
And
they mixed out all these different songs from the past. And I was like, oh, I recognize that. Oh my God, it's Lindana. Yeah. That was cool. I liked that part.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Very, very awesome. And so fun.
Oh, there we go. Ferb wears his Dapper Singer costume from Deplane.
Yeah, so it's a Fantasy Island reference.
So it's a Fantasy Island reference. Oh, yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
No, I mean, the dude.
But he sings. Gonna, he gets more than one line. He gets an entire song, which is unheard of.
Exactly. Drusostinoween, what are you going to give it, or unless you have more to say about it?
You know, no, I really liked it. I would give it probably a 4.
I'm going to give it a 5.
What?
Yeah.
This is not a perfect episode.
Yes, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Because
of the house music? I don't know.
No, not just because that's part of it. But yeah, no. The fact that there is no real evil scheme here. The fact that
there's no evil scheme, the boys' inventions don't disappear. I mean, they're going out on a limb. They're telling a different kind of story here,
right? And that's why it's a 5 to me, because it is a different story. It's not the everything we always see that is slightly different that ties into everything. The whole thing is tied together because you have everybody in one play. Yeah,
all right.
Vanessa, the vampire queen, basically tells Candace, well, the only party planners in town that I could hire, it only makes sense since they do it the best. She hired Phineas and Ferb. And Candace is like, et tu, Vanessa? Like, dude, you know, I mean, come on. Yeah, no.
Dab me in the back like the rest of the senators? Thanks a lot.
Exactly. And Doofenshmirtz, like, he's doing this treasure hunt because his great aunt or whatever left him this castle and whatever. And, like, look.
Perry's helping him.
And Perry's helping him. and they go and they find the treasure where they find all this money. And like he says, I'm rich. I'm this. I'm blah, 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 blah. Quoting the other thing. And I'm like, oh, cool. So Doof is going to get a leg up. And then all the goddamn bill collectors come out of the woodwork. This was great. I love
it. It had a slight bit of Goonies to it, I think.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit. You know, they had to save the... They had to save their house. It just seems odd that, you know, it's like, I think that some of the things that we judge episodes on is how well do they do the recurring lines? How clever are they with the way that the stories fishtail together? And this one just eschews all that. And you gave it a 5. I mean, that's... Yeah.
I gave it a 5. All right. You want it?
I'm having a hard time arguing with you. I enjoyed it. All right. I don't know if it's a 5.
So the reason why it's a 5.
Yeah.
Is that there is no, I know what we're going to do today. There is no Too Young. Ferb sings Vampire Queen's Love Pimpernels. He's singing a whole song.
He gets a whole song. Yeah.
There's no what you doing. There's no hey, where's Perry? Because we know where Perry is. Yeah. There is no, oh, there you are, Perry. Perry jumps into a pile of leaves. So it's fall. It's Halloween. There is no evil jingle, but it can be heard.
Perry hit a platypus in a sheet. Yeah, that's funny.
Well, right. But there is no evil jingle, but the jingle can be heard when a group of trick-or-treaters rings Doofenshmirtz's doorbell. So that's interesting. We've never had that happen before where we don't even hear the evil jingle, but we hear it as the doorbell ring. That's cool.
And the fact that they jam it all into 11 minutes.
Yeah.
It's absolutely impressive. It is. Yeah. It is impressive.
Impressive. Most impressive.
Is it a Phineas and Ferb episode? No, but it's impressive.
But it's a good episode.
It is a good episode. I'm not saying it's not good.
Sorry, H&M. You're on your own from here on out.
Oh, goody. Trick-or-treaters.
Trick-or-treat!
Okay, let's see. What do we have here? Class Dunce with a fake scar, and you must be the Princess of Meatland. And, Upset Roosterhead. And what are you supposed to be? A kid in a sheet? A platypus in a sheet? Hey, the platypus in a sheet! Well, that's perfect. Wait, I was hoping you'd... Whoa. I'm being sincere. There's no trap, no innate, or just come over here. You gotta see this. It was delivered today. I had the sign for it and everything. It's a real castle with a moat. Who delivers a moat? How do they even get that on a plane? It's from my great-aunt, Henrietta Hackenschmidt. She left it to me in her will. Look, listen to this. To Heinz Doofenshmirtz, you are my only nephew, except for Roger, and I hated him. See why I liked her? Therefore, I leave you my castle, and hidden inside is a very large treasure. Huh? And look, there's a little treasure map with clues. Want to help me? Oh, come on. It'll be fun. Take off your secret agent hat just for tonight and put on your adventure hat. That's my guy, Treasure Hall. This is going to be fun.
But you know that it's got Monty in it, and I don't like him, so screw that guy.
Oh, come on. What's Monty's cool?
Like Monty. Do I not like Monty or not like Seth Green? I think it's more I just don't like Monty.
No, you don't like Seth Green. You've never liked Seth Green. That's what it is. But Monty and Vanessa.
I'll take Seth Green in small doses when he's not phoning it in, sure. You know?
He's not phoning it in here. Okay, look, you got Jeremy and Candace.
We've had the conversation. Phineas, I know. Isabella, I understand.
And you've got Phineas and Isabella, even though they're not technically together yet, not until act your age, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Jeremy and Candace and Vanessa and Monty. And I would rather see Vanessa with Monty than any of the other boyfriends that she's had in the past three seasons.
I know, and I get it. It's supposed to be like this forbidden love thing where it's like, you know, they're together, but they can't let anybody know, and it have to be in disguise in order to be, you know, together in public.
Come on, you got to laugh at Major Monogram. With his night helmets, trying to see.
She's like, oh, Monty, high power guy. The water and power guy. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm the water and power guy. You know? Especially but I mean, that makes up for the fact that there's 15 Scarlet Pimpernels there. And he can't find a costume because they're all rented already.
Welcome to my castle party. Here's a mask. Lacey, wow, great costume.
This is a costume party?
Sir Grand of the Goth Table has arrived.
You look great, Sir Grand. Goth dragons beware.
Vanessa?
Candace.
Whoops, I guess your party's gonna have two vampire queens. What are the chances, right?
I'm gonna go change.
How did you ever pull this off?
Well, my dad gave me permission to use his castle, and then all I had to do was call the best party planners in town.
Ferb, you hit the 440 junction box hooked up behind the riser, and I'll go check up on the pumpkin crudités.
8-2, Vanessa.
I had to. This is a big night for me. My boyfriend's coming.
It's very true, very true.
Yeah, I get it.
Four from him.
I'm leaning toward 4.5. I don't know. Maybe. All right, we'll see.
I've already written it down in bold, so you're...
Uh-oh. It's in marker. In marker. We can't change it now.
In permanent marker. And it's
indelible ink.
Yeah, indelible underlined ink.
With a big red circle around it, angry red circle.
Well, I can't do an angry red circle. This is only Microsoft Word 2007, after all. But up next, we're going to get to Facing Our Fears, folks. We'll be right back.
Okay, guys, now you try. Nice. Very smooth, Baljeet. What's the problem, Buford?
Well, you know, the sun was in my eyes.
Buford, what's with the lack of effort?
I'm just trying to be careful.
You?
Yeah, we're out of credit at the emergency room. My mom said if I break one more bone, she's gonna break the rest of them. Fairly sure that was hyperbole. Besides, look how hard that hydrant is.
Well, maybe we could make our own fire hydrants out of soft foam rubber.
Hey, that's a great idea. Ferb, I know what we're gonna do today.
All right, folks, it is time to face your fear. After studying hours of horror movies, Doofenshmirtz develops a theory that enlarging small, cute animals into giant beasts will help him take over the tri-state area. But when he puts this plan into action, he soon realizes it might be too much for him to handle. Meanwhile, Phineas and Ferb make a giant revolving foam city so they can safely perform skateboarding tricks.
Say that five times fast.
Yeah, no. Candace's tour of the Danville Space Laboratory gives her an opportunity for a high-tech bust. Dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun. There you go. You got it that time.
Yep. Woo! Only took me two tries. One try, technically.
There you go.
Second try, whatever. But
first try.
Buford? Okay. Buford? I am fat and lazy. But damn, Buford, really, you don't want to put any effort in, so that means that they have to make... And...
No, you know what? I sympathize with Buford here, because I can't ride the skateboard either. I was like a senpai. I have excellent balance, you know? I was a martial artist for years, and I still can't ride... I can't ride a surfboard. I can't ride a skateboard. I can't ride those Segway things. Those wheels that you stand on?
Yeah, I know.
I cannot stand on that damn thing. And like I said, I have balance. I just can't get it. I can't make it happen.
So here's what it is, folks. He's got balance, but he ain't got no rhythm, man. Anyway.
What does that even mean?
Balance, rhythm. You have to balance the thing. There has to be a rhythm to the... Anyway. It was a dance joke. But it's one of those things where, like, I sympathize with Buford, but, like, Phineas is like, Buford, what's wrong? Oh, no, I ain't got no energy, I ain't got this, and I ain't got that, and our health insurance premiums are up too much. If I go to the hospital again, I'm screwed, and we're gonna be piss poor, and then they're like, oh, we'll just make an entire city out of foam, which I like.
I'll have to sell a kidney unless you make me a revolving town.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it needed to be a revolving town, but I like the idea of, even though these skateboards are still hard with the wheels and the...
That's right. He could have hit himself in the head with a skateboard.
Yeah, he could have.
You can get a concussion like that.
And out of all of the kids, Ferb is the only skateboard master.
No, all three of them are, well, with the exception of Buford, are skateboard masters. It was crazy how good they were. They're spinning around and bouncing off of trees, and you know, despite the fact that the handrails are all made out of foam, they're still gliding down handrails. It's just, you know, it seemed kind of neat in the sense that, you know, they could have provided homes for the homeless.
Yeah.
I guess, absolutely. You know. Yeah. Homes that they wouldn't hurt themselves on, I guess, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And then we get to DEI and or
what?
DEI, Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated.
Okay, sure.
Not the other thing.
Yeah, I thought you were Yeah.
No.
I was gonna say.
No, see, that's the problem. I keep hearing that everywhere about DEI now, and I'm like, what? Why is Doofenshmirtz Evil Incorporated in the news? I need to bring that up, in the video show next time. Boy. Okay, so yeah, no, Doof, just no, don't stop. Just don't even go through with this plan.
Something about a giant bat.
No, this is a bad plan, man.
I thought it was a cute idea that he, like, rescued a bat.
I like that he rescued a bat, but he rescued a circus bat.
It's a pet, right? Yeah, but, you know, animals in the circus are abused. And if you can take one out of the bad circumstances that it has found itself in and, you know, and help it, that would be nice.
I agree with that. Other than the fact that they made a joke out of it by saying, oh my god, it's a circus bat, which means he just goes around and around.
Goes around
the
circles,
Even went to the freaking Arch of St. Louis. Like, come on.
I've never seen a circus bat, so I don't know what kind of tricks they perform. But, I mean, if it's flying through a loop, then maybe that's all he knows. So it's a good thing he was rescued because,
you know. Well, yeah, yeah. But man, this is... And then Candace and Jeremy basically have a whole date together at the Labrador.
Yes.
The space Labrador. Oh, now you tell me.
Labrador?
What the hell is a space Labrador?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think much of this episode, so there's that. And this is sad because it follows such a fantastic episode in Drusel and Drusel Steentown. And also, I didn't pick up as much of a Halloween vibe this time around.
No, this one really wasn't. The two back-to-back Halloween episodes were Drusel Steenoween and TTTOST or whatever it is.
Well, the Tri-Town Trilogy of Terror was a Tri-State Trilogy of Terror was a half an hour.
Yeah.
And the Klimpaloon was half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in between the two, you've got Drusel Steen and Face Your Fear, and they're not half an hour. They go together as two 11-minute episodes, but...
Yeah, but, like, Drusel Steenoween is the only really, like... Face Your Fear is more of Doofenshmirtz trying to face his fears. Like he's not afraid of Halloween, but he's afraid of Christmas. What? Whatever, Doof. I do like the Foam Town song, though. That is one of the cooler songs in Season 4, I think. That was really fun.
Okay, Ferb, fire it up. We're going to Foam Town.
There's nothing that I found as good as going round and round in Foam Town.
In Foam Town.
I used to skin my knees, but here it doesn't matter where I fall. You'll never get scarred, cause nothing's really hard in Foam Town. So take a road and ride on a streets of urban sprawl. Come on down to Foam Town.
It was. Yeah. No, it was a fun song.
Yep. And the only illusions that we have is Super Friends, Irish Spring, Lilo and Stitch, Night of the Lepus. I don't even know. Oh, that's
wait a minute. The close up of giant Derek's face look like Stitch? How is that's such a huge stretch.
That's a leap.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And the giant kittens attacking a city can only be a reference to the film about giant killer rabbits.
That's a stretch too, but
huge stretch. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I do like his online name, Heinz 58.
I'm trying to remember where the online name came from. Where did he?
I don't
remember. When was he online?
He's been online multiple times, but I don't remember.
Where in this episode was he? Because he bought the bat online.
He bought the bat online. Yeah, yeah.
It had to have been like a blink and you'll miss it thing, because I missed it.
Probably, because I didn't even see it. Like, I'm looking through the illusions. I'm like, why is there a bottle of ketchup in the illusions? And then I read it. I'm like, oh, his name is Heinz 58. So he had some ketchup with those bat wings.
When with the oh gosh, don't eat the bat. He's a rescue. Don't. I was gonna say don't Ozzy Osbourne that bat. That would have been hilarious too. He just bit the head right off the bat, and I would have been like, "Oh, game over. We're done. No problem now." I'm trying to remember what the line was exactly, but Caroline Ray says, "You know, thanks for giving us the tour of the Labrador," and he says, "Oh, no problem. What with your accomplishments in, you know, rocket science?" And yeah, she's like, "Oh, wait, we don't want to tell anybody about that."
Yeah, it's supposed to be a secret. Yeah,
I'm like, is that an allusion to something that I'm not placing? Was she a rocket science in a previous rocket scientist in a previous episode? I don't know.
I don't remember that.
But... I know she was an aerospace engineer and Lindana. In the same life, so she's had a lot of adventures.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, after all, she and Phineas and Candace had a life before they met Lawrence and Ferb. So, because, you know, blended family and see, all.
Now you just make it sound sad. It's like, what? She was an aerospace engineer and she gave it all up to be a housewife because she met.
No, she was an aerospace engineer who became a 80s pop sensation, and then she became a housewife after the fame died down.
Oh, I thought she was an 80s pop sensation when she in her teen years. Which then she had gotten done with Let's All Go to the Mall and then went to college to become a scientist.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
That's the only way that makes sense, right?
Yeah, I guess. She's still an 80s pop star regardless in the current day, so it's not like...
We'll talk about that next, but yeah.
Boy. Yeah, that's true, sure.
Yeah, we gotta wrap this up because the next episode's much cooler.
Really, is it though?
Yeah, it is. You just don't like the nah, 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 nah. Soft fire plug.
All
right, that's right, Ferb. Seriously, that's it? A soft fire plug? when it's attached to a giant revolving treadmill with a giant soft neighborhood containing soft obstacles, and he goes,
that's better.
That's all right. All right, maybe I was too hasty. I'm sorry. I was jumping to conclusions there. Soft fire plug.
What are you going to give Face Your Fear?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to give it like a 2.5 when it probably deserves a 3. What were you looking at?
I gave it a 3.
All right, I'll go with 3 then. I don't want to be out of compliance here.
Well, it's not that. You can give it whatever rating you want. Like, if you want to give it a 0, give it a 0. Fine. I don't care. It's up to you. But, I mean, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, it's not as bad as...
There was a giant foam hamster wheel in their backyard that got smashed to bits by Doofenshmirtz's head while attached to a giant bat. What happened to the giant bat?
I don't want to know. Just like I don't want to know what happened to the giant floating baby. Like, I don't want to know these things. I really, really don't want to know these things.
Is there still a giant bat floating around somewhere?
Is it this episode? Where is... Oh. So, I want to read this because the scene where Isabella says that what she thought Baljeet said, remember? In this episode, Pavan Maya revealed what Isabella thought Baljeet said on his TikTok. What did she
think he said?
The explanation is as follows. Isabella's uncle Barry had been on an expedition in the Amazon and had gone missing 3 years earlier. He had been studying llama husbandry, and there were all sorts of llama conspiracy theories around his disappearance. The most prevalent of which was that he had stumbled upon a secret society of hyper-intelligent llamas and was working for the head llama as an executive assistant, since that had always been his dream job. When Baljeet said, "Where is Perry?" Isabella thought he said, "There is Barry," like he had just seen her long-lost uncle. I didn't even hear "There is Barry."
I didn't either.
I heard "Where is Perry?"
Is Perry?
Yeah, that's in Isabella's head. I'm glad Dan explained it. I'm glad there's an explanation to it and everything else. But I heard "Where's Perry?" You heard "Where's Perry?" I'm sure everybody else in the audience back when this episode aired heard.
I assumed it was something dirty that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
What did you think I said? Like, oh, never mind. You don't want to know. You don't even want to know what I thought you said.
It was
horrible that you don't even want to contemplate what I actually thought you said.
Absolutely not. But, like, at least we have an explanation, so there's that. Yay.
Barry. What? I don't know. Uncle, what happened to Chuck Barry? I don't know.
Uncle Barry, is he white or black? I don't know.
Uncle Barry. Oh, hey. Technically, he could be.
Hey, baby.
What is she? She's
She's Mexican.
Mexican and Jewish, right? So technically, he could be Jewish. He's not Barry White.
No.
Where's Barry White? I don't know.
All right.
I just read it. Perry zaps Derek with the innator, causing him to return to regular size. And then Doofenshmirtz and falls into a shellfish restaurant, which oddly was not originally in St. Louis.
No, that's why it's so weird.
I don't understand.
I mean, I guess they could have multiple locations.
Is the tri-state area near St. Louis? I'm confused. I don't understand.
The tri-state area is next to the bi-state area, which is next to the adjacent area, which is right over there.
That makes perfect sense.
And we'll be back right after this with the Klimt Balloon Ultimatum.
Look, if you're going to destroy my chance at stardom, I think I deserve an explanation.
All right, I do like the sound of my own voice. So, for years now, I've wanted to find the elusive Klimt Balloon. And finally, after countless hours web surfing, I found Shackelberg's journal on an online auction site, only to lose the first volume to you two. I did manage to get his second journal, but it only contains the last page of the map that you have in Volume 1. So I concocted a long, convoluted plan to get you to lead me right to him. Yeah.
But why?
You see, sales have gone flat. You can only reinvent the bikini and board shorts so many times, but if I could convince the world to start wearing old-timey bathing suits again, that's revolutionary. But to do that, I was gonna need a gimmick. What a combo! He's self-propelled, he's got a weird, disturbing face on his chest, and he makes unintelligible noises. Seriously, just the whole package is irresistible, and he's all mine!
You can't own him.
He's a living thing!
He belongs to the ages.
Well, the ages should have kept their receipt, because he belongs to me now. And once I unravel his secrets, I'll make a fortune. Well, second fortune. Oh, there's my ride, brought to you by Random Swimwear!
We can't let him unravel Klimt Balloon's secrets.
Unravel? I've got this! Not on time, Patch!
All right, folks, finally up tonight, we have the Klimt Balloon Ultimatum, which is a play on words of the Bourne Ultimatum, which is the third reference to the... Or the hold on.
How does this even have anything to do with the Bourne trilogy?
The Klimt Balloon Ultimatum, the Bourne Ultimatum.
It had the word ultimatum in it. That doesn't make any sense.
The title refers to the 1990 book and the 2007 film.
But it happens to have the same word in it. How does this have any... Was the Bourne Ultimatum about a trip to Nepal?
I don't know.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the Bourne Ultimatum, other than the fact that the word is in it.
Hey. As soon as I see ultimatum, all I can think about is Matt Damon and Jason Bourne. I don't think but of the anything
fact,
else.
But the fact is that it's an ultimatum. The whole episode is about an ultimatum. You either produce proof of the Klimt Balloon's existence, or you don't get to participate. And it's like, that's your ultimatum.
Mm-hmm. I know.
One or the other, which has nothing to do with Jason Bourne or the whole trilogy. It doesn't. They don't fit together.
There have been worse illusions that we've debunked, so it's not as bad as some of the other ones that they've tried to make.
There's been longer stretches made by the Phineas and Ferb Wiki. I mean,
Love Handel's song, The Ballad of Klimt Balloon, is nominated for a Best Fact-Based Song at the Tristies.
The Tristies.
Oh my God, I can't believe it.
Tri-State Area Awards, called the Tristies.
Sponsored by Random Swimwear.
But I didn't know what it was either until they pronounced it. And they said, welcome back to the Tristies. And I was like, oh, it's not Tristies. Excellent. Okay, moving along.
Yeah, there's no Snap, Crackle, Pop here, folks.
Yeah, there's no Rice Tristies.
No. But when the existence of the magical human-like bathing suit Klimt Balloon is in question, Phineas, Ferb, and the gang must travel to the Himalayas to prove his existence and validate Love Handel's nomination. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz attempts to turn Roger into a warthog.
And he almost got away with it, too. Wasn't for those meddling kids.
I was going to say, it wasn't for those damn meddling kids. Oh, yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
Actually, in the wiki, they actually say it's spelled Nang, and I thought it was more of a nine.
The old timey bathing suit who lives in the Himalayas is actually German. Jawohl.
Yeah. Very diverse. What was the word? Stiebel?
Something. I don't know.
Stiebelmon? Stiebelmon? Very nice, Stiebelmon. I gotta put that on a post-it, stick it on my monitor so that I can be like, Paradise Stiebelmon. That makes me giggle. Mm-hmm. All right. But there's a bunch of bands that are all competing. We got to see Lindana and Max Modem that nobody could remember.
I didn't remember that Max showed up more than the one or two times he already did, but I liked seeing the two of them together again.
They like invented him, though. He wasn't an 80s pop star.
Yeah, no, I know. They invented him, but like what they invented was pretty damn cool for Dad. And seeing the two of them together, I like seeing the two of them together dressed up in their 80s outfits.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, if they're going to bring those two alter egos back and put them together, then a rock or and a rock awards show would be the way to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely. That makes sense.
I don't know. I feel like I watched too much Phineas and Ferb today, which is really weird because that should never be a feeling I should have. But
you know, I watched these two episodes, Jerusalem, Oween, and Face Your Fear, and then I watched this episode, and then it occurred to me that we also had to cover
Tri-State
Trilogy of Terror, so I watched that one again. And I just like that episode.
That was a good episode.
That's a great one. And I liked this one too, but you know, I didn't watch this one twice. But yeah, there was a lot of Phineas and Ferb being watched today.
Yeah, and this is as much as we like this episode, this is probably not an episode plot that I would want to revisit anytime soon. Like, I've seen it, I know what it is, it's kind of cool. But at the end of the day, we go from Doofenshmirtz finding this rich treasure that's left to him, to getting it taken away by bill collectors, to now going back to, I'm going to turn my brother into a warthog.
He's nothing if not consistent.
That's true, but...
he has invented a spray bottle.
No, he didn't invent the spray bottle. He invented the shit that's in the spray bottle.
He goes to great lengths to explain that he did not, in fact, invent the spray bottle. So I was just messing around. But yeah, that was funny. Technically, he could have invented a new type of spray bottle, you know, that uses like reverse suction or something to spray. You know, it would have made more sense.
Reverse suckology.
Exactly. Only the reverse kind, though, because suckology has already been studied for the last 80 years.
That's right.
There are no more new innovations to be made in psychology.
Nope.
So the fact that Love Handle is going to play. I like Love Handle. The song doesn't quite do it for me, but most of their songs are good.
Yeah.
And they've chosen Candace to sing with them. And they said that she won like a lottery or something. Was that something that was covered in a previous episode? Or
I think it's just something they threw in here to have her involved in the thing.
Like plot armor? I mean, I seem to remember her in a previous episode winning a lottery on the radio or something so that she could sing with Love Handle.
Yeah, she did, but that was in the previous episode, and she got to do that in that
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. So they ended the episode with her singing with them.
Yep.
Okay, so this not the same. This is different. So she had the great fortune to win a second radio lottery so that she could sing with them a second time. They're just going to have to take her on tour now.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, literally, when he was playing the instruments at the end, before Danny starts singing, I thought she was going to sing. I'm not saying she was going to replace Danny as the singer of Love Handle, but I thought they were going to duet the song.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. And that would make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, we've heard Candace sing before, right? And we know that Ashley Tisdale can sing.
Yep.
She's actually really good. So I don't know. They could have implemented that a little better.
Yep.
Yeah. You didn't just show up to go 9999. that's not your reason for being here.
Yeah, it's not your thing, Candace.
Yeah. Stay in your lane, Candace.
That's Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but...
Still, he persisted. Mm-hmm. One thing that made me laugh really hard about this episode was the Leroy Jenkins reference. And if you're not familiar with Leroy Jenkins, you know, you got to go out and Google Leroy Jenkins, because it's a very, very old World of Warcraft clip where, you know, you have these admins that are testing a raid mechanic in World of Warcraft. And, you know, the leader of the group, they've got like 40 guys, you know, and they're going over the rules. And he says, okay, now we need our fighters up front and we need our magic users in the back. Before we run in, we're going to buff everybody so that, you know, they have iron skin and they're strong and they can, you know, they're running into a cave to defeat a bunch of dragons. Mm-hmm. And like a 100 dragons are in there. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is he asked one of the guys, can you crunch some numbers real quick? And the guy says, okay, let me look. Hold on. You can hear him tapping. And he's like, all right, I'm getting a 32.3% chance of success. That's repeating, of course. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, okay, good. Okay, we can do this. You know, I think we, you know, he's like, we can do this. And then this guy runs in and he goes, all right, guys, let's do this. Leroy Jenkins. And he just runs in. And the leader goes, oh my God, did he just run in there?
Yeah.
And he goes, he just ran in. And then they're like, all right, we can still salvage this. Go. Eric, stick to the plan. Everyone, you know, we need our buffs. We magic users. And they're all like, we're dying out here. They all get killed. And they're like, oh, Leroy, you jerk. You stupid idiot. What did you do? And they all get killed. And then at the end, Leroy goes, well, at least I got chicken. It's an awesome clip. It's hilarious, and I reference it a lot. I love it when I love to say, Aiden and I will be playing video games, and I'll say, Aiden, I need you to crunch some numbers real quick, and he'll be like, all right, fine, 3.23 repeating. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Awesome, thanks. Nobody else gets the reference. We get the reference.
Yeah, you get the reference.
I get it. I made him watch it when he was little, so he knows the reference. Yeah, you know? I love the reference. Did he just run in there? I always say that while we're gaming. Did he just run in there? Yeah, he did. Well, just stick with the plan. Come on. But the fact that they included that in there. Dang it, Buford. I laughed so hard. Because he's like, what? I was using gamer strategy. So he, you know, references the fact that it was from World of Warcraft. It was just, that kind of made the episode for me, to be honest.
Yeah.
Leroy Jenkins. But Klimpaloon, I can do with or without. So, you know, I'm not, I know you don't like the 999. I don't think that's what I like least about him. But the fact that they go all the way to the Himalayas to get him, to bring him back to prove that he exists so that Love Handle can win their award show, which is the most convoluted storyline ever.
That's why the is just annoying, but like really that's what it is to me, is that it's so convoluted and so stupid. Like Love Handle's songs are great, they're cool, they're fun. Sometimes they're science based or fact based or whatever, but a music competition based, a music award given out based on a song fact.
What actual fact-based songs? Oh, yeah,
my head. How
convoluted?
This?
How did this even happen?
What is this American factual song idol over here? What the hell? Like,
and they put them all in a glass container so that they. I mean, I'm like, this is referencing something, and I just don't know what it is.
Oh, let me look at that because I was curious about that.
Why did they put them in a glass box for 24 hours? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. So while you're looking that up, I will.
It doesn't say anything.
I'll continue. But
there's nothing. There's nothing.
How is that not a reference to something? It's got to be.
I thought it was, but so far nothing.
I'm sure it is. In fact, we'll have to Google it, and then we'll edit the wiki ourselves because you know that has to saved for posterity.
I'm too lazy, so.
Damn it, I'm lazy too. All right. Anyway, so as we were saying, I'm watching the episode, and you've got a new bad guy, and the bad guy is Mr. Random from Random Somewhere, who is they have sponsored the show, so he's like these random swimwear commercials keep popping up, and he's monologuing. He's a villain. He's monologuing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I thought that it was the enemy band who was trying to stop them from
fighting. Yes, me too. That's like, what was the whole point of that?
Yeah, why do they even have him say that? That makes no sense, especially in these episodes where they're usually pretty tight. You know, they know they're short on time. They only got 11 minutes, or in this case, 22 minutes. So they strip out all the extraneous stuff. So that whole thing from... what was it called? Slam Hammer? The lead singer of Slam Hammer basically saying, I will stop at nothing, you know, to keep them from finding the Klimpaloon. I assumed it was him following them, but it wasn't. It was Mr. Random. And so Mr. Random is monologuing like, and I put together this whole convoluted award show in order to get you to come to... you know, the Himalayas to find the Klimpaloon, and I would find you, and I would follow you, and I would capture him, and it all worked. Wah-ha-ha-ha. And I'm listening to this, and I'm like, this guy sounds familiar. I know this guy. And I thought, that's John Stewart. And I couldn't believe, I'm like, they couldn't have gotten John Stewart to do this, because there's a song, and Mr. Random actually sings a song. And I was like, they couldn't have gotten John Stewart to not only do a huge monologue twice, right? Yeah. Once in the middle and once at the end, but also sing a song. I mean, that's a big commitment for somebody who's clearly busy. He's got the Daily Show and he's got all this stuff he's doing. And then at the end, I was pausing, you know, to get to the part of the credits where they say who the voice actors were. Like fourth page of voice actors. John Stewart.
Yeah.
It's like, no way. I thought that was the coolest thing. Because, I mean, he doesn't have the most distinctive voice, but he can act.
Yeah.
He has such, he's got amazing range, you know,
He's got some good chops.
He's got chops, yeah, you know? Yeah. He's got chops and the cadence that he speaks in.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I picked him out immediately. I was like, wow, this is really cool that they got John Stewart to basically do a quarter of the episode by himself.
Yep.
It was neat. Yeah.
Yeah, it was very good. It's not enough to save this episode from a bad grade, but it was a nice cameo.
Give it a bad grade? Oh, come on now.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. How many songs were in this? It was like...
I said eight. Something like eight, nine.
It was eight songs?
I think so. I think I counted them. It was either that. Yeah. Because this is a full half hour.
Undead Mummy. I'm Lindana. I caught that one. Alien Heart. I don't think I caught that one. Trees Made of Wood, which I thought was dumb because it was like two lines.
Yep.
Hockey Z9. Forever Summer Instrumental. I caught that.
Yeah.
Flashing Back to Fashion Forward. I caught that one. And then the Ballad of Klimpaloon, which I thought was kind of not that great, but I'm sure they pulled it out of the Klimpaloon episode.
Yeah, lame.
Yeah,
I mean, a couple of them are the instrumental versions of the older songs, and yes, you're right, the one done by Slam Hammer really isn't a song, but they still count it as a sung thing in the episode, so it's a...
Yeah, it kicked off all heavy, and I was like, oh, now here we go, now we're
now
we're talking, here, let's hear, I want to hear some metal. I love it when they shift into, like, different genres that they don't often cover, and then they just stopped it.
Yep.
Straight out of wood. Boom. Done.
Yep.
I was like, well, that's dumb. The other fact that they were, you know, trying to keep it tight as far as like what scenes they say, well, how do we explain how we got here so fast? And he says, like, well, we don't have time for that. Ferb says, travel montage.
Yep.
I was like, all right, well, you didn't even get a travel montage. It was just like they're there.
Oh, no, you did. You did after the fact.
After the fact, it was a little bit of travel montage, but not like, how did we get here exactly? Because weren't we just at an award show and now we're here in parkas?
Yeah.
Well, how the hell that happened? Travel montage.
Yeah, travel montage. Suspension of disbelief, everybody. Just go with the friggin' flow. If they say what it is, and what it is what it is, even though it might not be what it isn't, just go with it.
Yeah. And honestly, they could have trimmed other stuff, you know, and given it a little more time to see. I mean, you know, it would have been awesome. Is I love, and I know they've done this before, but I love the Indiana Jones travel montage where it's basically they show a map.
Yep.
And the little dot that's traveling between the continents and it bounces between towns. And it's like, it's succinct. It's fast. And it shows you where they've been and, you know. And blah, blah, blah.
Because I think they were behind on time for this. They did that very lazily here because it is here. It is in that when it goes to the fade and it goes to that little travel montage, you see a map moving. You see them moving across some sort of map. But it isn't it isn't the Indiana Jones awesomeness, though. It's a lame, oh my God, we are out of time. We have to throw something in here. And that's why this whole episode gets a fucking 2. Out of 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
That's brutal. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yep, yep.
All right. Well, you know, I got to give it at least a 3 because Jon Stewart. And you know, Leroy Jenkins.
That's the only that's the only 2 reasons why it's not getting a 0 is because of Leroy Jenkins and Jon Stewart.
Oh.
If those weren't in here.
What about Lindana? And Max Modem. You know, they could have skipped the whole gag about the microphone going up and down, you know, the weird phallic microphone.
Well, all right, so 2.5 is as high as I'm going to go. But the weird thing with the microphone thing, that was award show fodder because.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't watch award shows.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Not a fan.
When did this air? This is what, 2013, I think? 20, yeah.
Sure.
Most likely. Yeah, still, and like, what I remember is the big joke of the award show, I think it's in, it's Naked Gun 33 1/3, the final insult. They do that whole thing with Raquel Welch and the stairs and the microphone and the things not working at award shows. That's what this is. And yes, I enjoyed that because I enjoy seeing Max and Lindana doing their thing. Uh-huh. But at the end of the day, everything else out of this episode, if they weren't there, and if Leroy Jenkins' references weren't there, this would straight be a 0 or a 0.5, easily. It just wore on me.
You didn't like Perry being turned into a Rastafarian with a Rastafarian warthog with a tambourine on his tail. More cowbell? More cowbell.
God. Oh my God.
And then he won an award and he's like, you know, I can't go thwart an evil plan because I gotta stand here for pictures while holding is that an Emmy or a Grammy or whatever he's got in his hand. He looks really guilty for being there, you know, but he can't help it.
Can't help it. That's right.
Yeah.
No, not even that. Like, that was funny. It was interesting. But it literally, looking at this episode again.
Doofenshmirtz's plan actually worked?
Did it?
Well, he wanted to spray Roger and turn him into a warthog because of a legal loophole that says that warthogs can't hold office. So he wants to spray his brother to turn him into a warthog so that he can no longer be mayor.
Right. Yeah,
but instead.
he gets Perry.
No. He got Perry already. But the reason why Perry didn't thwart him is because Perry was a warthog already and he was playing with this band. So what happens is the Mister was behind the podium and it was supposed to get Steve, but then Mr. Random comes over and says, "Wait a minute, you all heard me just admit to my evil deeds, right?" Uh-huh. And they said, "Yes, we did." And he said, they said, "Yes, we did." And then he says, "My career is over, isn't it?" And they say, yes, it is." And then the Mister goes off and hits Mr. Random and he turns into a warthog.
Okay.
But technically, his evil plan worked.
It did, but
it was not thwarted.
Well, his evil plan worked, but it still didn't get him what he wanted.
No, it did.
Like, so technically it didn't work.
He wasn't like punished at all. He didn't get his head smashed into a giant foam town 50 times by a giant bat, you know. He didn't even get punched by a platypus this episode. He just, you know, he kind of got off scot-free.
Yeah, didn't even get three cursed wishes from a giant floating baby head.
I know. Where's the giant floating baby head when you need him?
Which, again, is I almost want to put this at a 1.5 now without the giant floating baby head.
I'm
gonna leave it at a 2.5.
Didn't have any vampired queens. It didn't have.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
I wasn't expecting Max Modem to show up either, but I was pleasantly surprised. So yeah. Sure, why not? Right. I'll take it.
Yeah, 2.5 for me, 3 for you.
I'm giving it a 3. Yeah, I liked it. I did enjoy the episode. I usually like double episodes more, but you know, this one was a little, like we said, a wee bit convoluted.
Yeah, I think they're either, I don't want to say they're running out of ideas at this point, but I think they were scraping for time, or they needed something and they came up with this to fill the time that they needed to fill. Because they have a bunch of extended episodes, a bunch of longer episodes that are coming up that are amazing. Because we all know Phineas and Ferb Save Summer, Act Your Age, everything else.
It's Act Your Age is so good. Yeah.
What's the other one? Episode 100 of the podcast will be Tales from the Resistance. So that's an extended one. So they have stuff that's coming that's really excellent. This is just one of the I don't even remember the last time I rated a Phineas and Ferb episode below a 3.
Huh.
I would have to go back and look through all of our scripts to see what our ratings are, and I will do that for when we eventually do conclude this podcast, even though there is going to be a 5th season of the show at some point next year.
2025?
Yep.
I think March of 2025, wasn't it?
I don't know. I don't remember what it said on that poster.
So far in the future, it might as well be, you know.
as long as it's also streaming on Disney Plus, I'll be happy. If they put it on Disney Channel and make us wait a year for it to hit Disney Plus, I will be pissed.
Why would you have, no? I just assumed that in, you know, March or whatever, or 2025, it would just go straight to Disney Plus.
I don't know. Maybe they want to go back into the old TV model since they still have TV channels these days.
Do they?
I
assume Disney was just Disney Plus. You know, I don't know. Actually, I think they still have like Disney Kids somewhere.
Yeah, Disney Junior.
Yeah, Disney Junior. In my many extensive travels, I have been places where one of the channels on basic cable was Disney Junior. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they still have a cable channel. But
no, they still have the cable channels. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like right now, today in 2024, as we're recording this and releasing this for Halloween or whatever the hell I'm doing here, there are still Disney channels on television. Yeah. But we
cut the cord like a couple of years back, so I don't know what cable looks like anymore. Despite the fact that now that we have commercials in Netflix and Hulu, it feels like I'm right back to cable again.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that with like if they do this as we're going to air it on Disney Channel, Disney XD, as long as it hits Hulu the next day, or obviously it would hit Disney Plus the next day, not Hulu, but
so you got to get that package deal.
Looking for that. I'm looking for. Oh, that's why.
I heard of commercials.
Yeah. Stupid commercials. Damn commercials.
Stupid commercials. I know. And it's always the same commercials. But even watching stuff on Hulu, it's like same commercial every 10 minutes.
See, I pay for ad-free Hulu. I refuse. If I'm paying for a streaming service, I'm already paying.
For a streaming service. Why would it's annoying.
What? Yeah. But that's like,
am I not giving you money already? Oh, but no, you gotta give us more money so that we don't bore you with the commercials. It's like, this is why I cut the cord. This is why I don't have cable, because I don't want to watch commercials. I'd rather give you my $20 a month than have you show me stuff without commercials. Oh, that's, now that's it's more though. Yeah.
No, no. Well, yeah, they keep upping the price. Like, when I originally started using Hulu back in, I don't remember when it was, but a number of years ago. Let's just say 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was $11.99 plus tax for ad-free tier of Hulu. So you had no ads whatsoever. It's now up to like $18.99, $19.99 at whatever. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Something ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the fact is, like, at the time I was paying, like, over $200 for cable and then paying an additional fee for Netflix, paying an additional fee for Hulu, paying, what else did we have back then? We had a bunch of stuff. But I mean, now it's like, oh, we're paying much less for just internet, you know? But now they're reaming us on services. It's like, well, wait a minute. We just canceled Hulu and Disney so that we could take advantage of the new package deal as new customers. So, because they're, but we still don't get, we still don't get ad free.
Like, oh, see, sucks. I would pay for the ad. See, that's the thing. I would add on. I think you can add on to that package to get ad free, but yeah, folks. Streaming services are crazy these days.
Gouging.
Did we go to the break yet? I don't even remember.
I don't know, man. I don't think we did. We're just randomly. We're going down a rabbit hole again. Yeah, you can feel free to pull all that out. We don't need
to. No, that's fine. Well, it needs to be said because streaming services, they're getting more and more.
It's positive we said all this before in another episode.
Well, yeah.
Like, far be it for me to not complain repeatedly, you know.
Oh, please. I complain every single podcast I do. It doesn't matter what it is. But anyway, we're going to get to a quick podcast ad break and hear some podcast ads from other podcasts that we promote here on the GCRN. And we'll come back to close the show with a Season 5 preview. Holy crap. We'll be right back right after this.
What?
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20-year standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at YouTube.com/@LyricallyAudacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week, we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here on the podcast organization with our cool acronym. This is, what the hell episode is this? This is 98. This is 98 of 100 and something, because we got more episodes to go, and I just found the Season 5 article on the phineasandferb.fandom.com.wikia, whatever the hell. So, they're only titles, and they're only production numbers. They have no air dates listed. They have no viewers in the millions, or no volume, or no nothing. So, going into each one of these articles or these clickable links is stupid because there's no information there yet because the season hasn't debuted yet. But the 20 episode titles as of now: Summer Blockbuster, Cloudy with a Chance of Mom, Appetite for Adventure, License to Bust. Oh my god. No. Oh my god, they're just doing James Bond titles. Son
of a bitch. Is that the title?
No, that's me complaining, looking at the title. So, Appetite for Adventure, obviously, Appetite for Destruction, Guns N' Roses, License to Bust.
Flash will be in that one again.
Yeah, License to Bust, James Bond, I almost said James
License Bond. To Kill, sure.
Uh-huh. Dry Another Day. No.
That's funny.
Deconstructing Doof.
Sure.
Tropey McTropeface. You're going to love this, Mr. Hobbitses. Bilbo Blast-Eye.
Okay, sure.
Bilbo Blasty, B-L... No, it's just Bilbo Blast. That's an exclamation point.
Blastens?
Yeah. Bilbo Blast. A chip to the vet. More than an intern. The Aurora Perry Alice. Oh, my God, no.
I actually saw that.
Uh-huh. Me too. Nice. I saw it for like 10 seconds, and it wasn't even the one you saw.
My phone.
Mm-hmm.
Which technically just made it a picture that I could have gotten anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Lord of the Firesides, so Lord of the Flies. Agent T for Teen. Oh, God. That must be an episode where eight Candace...
How many do they have?
20.
Really? Only 20? So, or it's probably going to be 34 or 36, right?
Probably. The Haberdasher, the Candace suit, Out of Character, and the very last one, 509, that they list here is something we've been waiting for since we were in Seattle. Meep Me in St. Louis.
Meep Me in St. Louis. No.
It's real.
Can't possibly be true. All right.
It's true. It's all true. I swear.
I'll take it.
I swear. The Force.
That'll be fun.
Yeah. The Force. The Empire, the Death Star, it's true, it's all true. I swear, it's all true. That's right, Harrison, it's all true. Oh, God. All right. Any final thoughts from you before I run through the closing?
I'm going to have you crunch some numbers on that one.
I don't do math, thank you. For joining us here on Palka, there is several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. You visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen, that's right, where you can listen to and come with all of our content. You can send us an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put in the subject line Palka and whatever episode you listen to. You can check us out in all the podcasting clients you choose to use out there. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find us. You can check us out on the fruity side with Apple Podcasts, or the superior Android side with Spotify. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1 Mike. You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for the network. You're still on Twitter, right?
Yeah, I think I'm PeconCT Michael.
There you go. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka, and wish you'll join us next time. We will be giving you our thoughts on the next two episodes of Phineas and Ferb, which include four cartoons, Doof 101, Father's Day, Operation Crumb Cake, and Mandis.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Father's Day episode, which is cool.
Yeah.
Although not chronological, because everyone knows Father's Day comes before Halloween.
Yeah, before Halloween, and this will come after Halloween, absolutely. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
But wait, there's more.
Did he just run in there?
There's not really any more. That's about it.